So who's heard of earworms? Who knows what an earworm is? Not an ear biscuit. Who knows what an earworm is? An earworm. Never heard of an earworm? Go for it, guys. You have to kill that soaky music there. One of the best voices in rock history, Steve Perry. Hold on, don't stop believing. Hold on. Some Christians want to hold on to their, hold on to your demons. No, it's hold on to your feeling. All right, but earworm. Now, that song will be stuck in your head for the rest of the day. Don't stop believing. As you walk out, oh my Lord, get it out of my head. That's called an earworm. It's in there, and I can't tekira. It just doesn't go away. God, our protector, not our bully, this morning, a Father's Day message. Thank you for coming and bringing some of your dads. Amen? I want to say there's an earworm that we have in our ears from when we grow up. Even if we had Christian dads who are not perfect, because none of us are perfect, amen? We're all trying our best to be what we can be. Even as believers, and sometimes we mess up, but we have the wrong thinking of the Father, like an earworm in our ears. And we need, how do you get rid of that song? We play another song. You got to play other songs, and those other songs will eventually supersede that don't stop believing. It's not playing in your head. We need to hear the truth about the Father, because the Father being wanting to punish you, and he's disappointed in you, and he's angry with you, wants you around, he's ostracized you, he's cut you off, he's canceled you, he is punishing your business and punishing your life because you are doing wrong things. That is not the Father. But that is an earworm that as adults very often, and children, we have ringing in our ears, because that's what we are told the Father is like, especially by those in the church. Amen? Especially by those who profess to be believers or to represent God. So we're gonna read John 9. I've got quite a bit of reading to do here. John 9, and we're going to jump down to John 10, 1 to 10, and we're going to bounce through some of those scriptures. And I'm going to show you the difference. We're going to look at the difference between how the Pharisees reacted to something and how Jesus responded to something. What the Pharisees represented, because they were the Christians of the day. They were the believers of the day. They were the gurus of the day. Amen? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the couldn't sees and the wouldn't sees. They were the guys representing the Father's heart. Jesus comes, and what does the Bible say in somewhere, verse something? I took it out of my notes. Why would I do that? John 14, I didn't. Show us the Father, Jesus. Then we'll know. And he says, come on, you guys, doffies. If you see me, you've seen the Father. Well, what the Father says, I say. What the Father does, I do. I only speak with the Father. The Father and I are one. I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. The Father and I are one, Jesus said. So basically, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we know that Jesus comes onto this earth to represent the Father. Let me tell you quickly, the Father doesn't kill your loved ones to take them to heaven. Give them cancer so they go to heaven. God needed another angel. Oh, so he gave them cancer. No, Jesus came to heal people. He never once put sickness on anyone or punished anyone. Amen. And he had some choice words for some self-righteous people. Judgmental Christians, misrepresenting the heart of the Father. Amen? So John 9, 13. Well, that first bit was an intro, so I can start now. Did someone just say, wow? Wow. I don't know whether to take it as good or bad. All right, so we know Jesus is a man born blind. Interesting, the man doesn't ask to be healed. So we have to remember that sometimes. Sometimes the Father's going to do something for us even though we haven't asked him, because he knows the questions in our hearts. Amen? So don't be condemned. Hey, I haven't prayed for this. Hey, sometimes the Father knows. He knows what you want. So the man born blind, we know the one guy, Jesus, what do you want from me? Heal me. But this case, he doesn't ask, Jesus, come heal. Jesus just grabs him, heals him. Well, doesn't just grab him and heal him, but there's a context to it, but he doesn't ask Jesus to heal him. He knows this guy's born blind from it. So they say, this guy that's been born blind, is it his parents that sinned or him, or how's it all work out? Jesus says, he is this way so the Father can declare, show his glory. Now, don't say, well, God gave him blindness, because that didn't happen. God heals. He doesn't give sickness. Amen? Amen? There's no sickness in heaven. And so what happens is, he rubs spit and mud and makes the guy see. But here's the problem that happens on the Sabbath. It really frustrates and upsets the Pharisees. Because now this is the Sabbath, and now you're doing good works on the Sabbath, and that's bad. Even though I'm loving this guy and bringing him here, I'm opening his eyes. God wouldn't do that. So John 9:13. They brought to the Pharisees a man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees had also asked how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath. How's that for religiosity? It's not from God. So they call his parents. Question the guy's parents. Bring the parents in here. And the parents essentially say the same thing, but they're afraid of the Pharisees because they don't want to be ostracized and kicked out. They're also Jews. And so what they do is they go, oh, he's of age. Ask him. So a second time, they summon the man, John 9:24, who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth. Interestingly, if you want to give glory to God, you have to speak the truth that I speak. If you want to give glory to God, say what I want you to say. They said, we know this man is a sinner. Interesting. So Jesus, we know that this circuit is not correct. He's not from God. Tell us that. And then you're honoring God if you agree with us that this man is a sinner. Be careful of trying to side people into your faction to get them to agree with you because you think it's actually godly when it's not. Amen? Amen. John 9:26-28. Then he asked him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him. Say, hurled insults. See the anger. Angry. You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, I don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of the opening of the eyes of a man born blind. If he were not from God, this man, he could not do this. To this I replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Say, threw him out. So they insulted him. They rip his character. Of course, insult him, rip his character. Then they say stuff about him that's not even true. Because the disciples asked Jesus, that's not true. He was steeped in sin at birth. That's not true. And not you were sinful. You were steeped in sin. You were marinating in sin when you were born. And then what they do? They throw him out of the temple. Like they threatened to throw his parents out. So as I said, what happens? Jesus goes, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So that's the Pharisees. That's how the Pharisees react to this man getting healed on the Sabbath day. So they go, the law of God is not to be broken. This guy comes and does something healing. And actually, Jesus is saying that love is the law. You guys are not willing to love anyone because in your mind it's breaking the law on that day. That's how you see God. Rules, regulations, strict. Like a headmaster with a cane. Just waiting for you to step out of line so he's going to smack you. Actually, the Father, the law of love is the law that God wants us to walk in. Amen? The law was a shadow of the things to come. It pointed to Jesus. And Jesus is the Spirit of love. Who's with me? And look what Jesus does. So he says, very truly I tell you Pharisees. Now he's speaking to the Pharisees. He says, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Say, listen to his voice. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he had brought them out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they hear his voice. His sheep follow him. When I was talking about last week about making disciples, the people going ahead of us are follow. We are leading. They are leading. We are following. And Paul says this: follow me as I follow Christ. Does he not?
Yeah.
Yes. That's what Paul says. Follow me as I follow Christ. And then Paul says to Titus or Timothy, what you've seen in me, there's down the line. So basically, if I'm at the end of the line, I don't know if there's an end of the line, but I'm being discipled. I'm following my leader as he supposedly follows Christ. That's why I said, make sure that in that person's life, there is fruit, verifiable fruit of the kingdom being built, of lives being changed, not just what is said, but what is done. Amen? The Pharisees were very good at saying stuff, but not very good at living it out. So Jesus comes and they say, this one is not like the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and the scribes. He talks with authority. Why? Because Jesus lived his message. The Pharisees didn't live the message. Prayed big flowery prayers, but didn't live it. Jesus lived his message out. That's the heart of the Father. Amen? But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Remember this. You're following a leader, and you go, this guy has the voice of Jesus. I can see where they're going and what they're doing, so I'm going to follow. But then the leader does something that you don't like or puts a boundary in place you don't like, and all of a sudden now he's a stranger. That can't be, friends. There must be something that's up there. Jesus can't be the shepherd and a stranger at the same time. Something must be happening in your relationship with that person and misunderstanding or misconstruing what they're trying to say. It's best to come together, keep the unity, say, help me understand why you're doing this. Yeah. Amen. What you don't want to do is disconnect and go, that guy's a stranger. He's not following the shepherd anymore. Ooh. We've got to be careful of that. Amen? And that's sometimes the hard wrestle inside. Because we carry offense and we get bitter and so we want to start saying things that are not true. They're not truth. You're steeped in sin since birth. Not true. But they were offended and angry at Jesus. Amen? Matter of fact, when Jesus came onto the scene, all the Pharisees saw was, we got to change. And we can't change our system of operation. We like the way it runs and we like who we are. Amen. Therefore, Jesus said, well, it says the Pharisees didn't understand. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. For all who came. But the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. I mean, he keeps reiterating. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Say, have it to the full. We need the shepherd's voice so that we can walk and follow him, so that we can have life to the full. Because many of us, including myself, were not having life to the full before we found Jesus. But finding Jesus, coming up and standing in the front, is not having life to the full. It takes time to begin to develop that. So when I follow the shepherd, he leads me to pastures and quiet streams and makes me lay down. There's sometimes he's got to direct me, sometimes where I don't even want to go because he wants me to live life to the full. I've jumped right to the end of my message. Goodbye. All right, earworms. Remember, the Father. Is this too loud or is it okay? Dawn's always telling me I talk too loud. I'm always struggling with my voice. So I just can't help it. All right, so the shame. You see, the Pharisees use shame and insults and segregation and ostracization and what's another word there? Cutting and canceling. So big point number one. But 2 points, we go home and have our Father's Day cake. And our gifts. I hope I've got lots of gifts, babe. Okay. The Father does not bully. The Pharisees use shame and insults and alienation as weapons. This is what bullies do, especially religious bullies. They try to shame people into submitting to their demands, and if the people do not comply, they alienate them, they cut them off, and they cancel them. Who's been canceled here before? Unfriended on Facebook. Woo! Oh, is it, eh? Sure. Not my friend on Facebook no more. Because you did something I didn't like. It's actually a bully. Listen, we can all be bullies at times. We've got a little bully inside of us. Say, Ash. Little bully. We got to say no. Amen. Or was it only Grant? I'm just kidding. They use shame and anger. See, is this how we see the Father? Do you sit here this morning full of shame? Going, this is, God is angry with me. He's disappointed with me. He's punishing me. My business started faltering because God's punishing me. I've been told by other Christians, you know, because of this, and now God's punishing me because I went, God's punishing, and he's very angry, and he's disappointed. That's not the Father. That's not his heart. Amen. The prodigal son, you don't ever see in that story the Father ever being angry, disappointed, or wanting to punish the son. He sits basically at the window with his light waiting for the son. Now, if I have a daughter or a son or whatever, and they can only have a daughter or a son, there's nothing in between, in my opinion. So, and I've got this beautiful house, but they want to go live in the gutter outside in a little tent in the rain, and it's raining, and they're cold, and they're eating scraps and scrounges they find in the dump. Would I be happy with that? No, I'm not pleased with that. It's like, I'm your dad. I've got everything here you need. But because of whatever's going on inside of you, whatever you're feeling, you can't. My hands are always stretched out to you. I will never disown you. Amen. If you keep reading there, John, Jesus says, the Father has given me he's put those in my hands. They will never be lost. I will never lose them. And then he says, my Father will never lose them in his hand. So basically, Jesus and the Father have you in his hand. For you to be lost again, they both have to lose you. Amen. Someone once said, can you lose your salvation? I said, well, can God lose a son? Can he just lose a son, lose a daughter, lose a son in the kingdom? I ain't going to think about that. Amen? See, the Pharisees in that moment were highly controlling. So they were desperate to have that person say what they wanted them to say about this other person. And they used threats, they used insults. They used threats of abandonment and threats of all kinds of stuff to get them to do. The Father doesn't operate like that. He doesn't threaten you. You always have a choice. Amen. He doesn't threaten you with punishment. He doesn't threaten you with violence. He doesn't threaten you with ostracization. That's what the Pharisees did. They tried to shame him into changing his mind. So you think this way, in order to think, I'm going to shame you and insult you. I don't know what kind of dad you grew up with. But at the end of the day, if you grew up with a dad who used these things as weapons, it's bad. If you grew up in a marriage where the mom and the father try to control each other, it's not helpful. Amen. None of us are perfect, and we all don't have perfect marriages. And we're trying our best to become the husband that God calls us to become. But of course, you need to follow the shepherd. I realize the moment my eyes go off the shepherd, I stop becoming a very grouchy, horrible husband. I put my eyes back on the shepherd. Amen. It happens to the best of us and the worst of us. None of us are immune from temptation, and none of us are immune from the enemy's voice saying, come on, Craig, you've gone down this road hard now. Take a gap. Amen? A little depression didn't hurt anyone. A little darkness and a little sulking. It condemned him. The Father doesn't condemn you. You are not condemned. No matter where you are and what you did last night, if you are a son of God, you are not condemned. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ. If Noah had fallen in the ark, he would have fallen in the ark. He wouldn't have fallen out of it. He was sealed in it. When you fall in Christ. There is no condemnation for those in Christ. Oh, Craig, you preach that stuff, people will run out and sin. People run out and sin whether you preach it or not. Don't tell me no one sins. We all sin, just to varying degrees. Amen? What is sin? Sin, matter of fact, the Greek word here, the Greek word sin is hamartio. Hamartio, H-A, whatever. Hamartio. And it means an act against or contrary to the will and the ways of love. Or the love of the Father. Amen? So anytime I act contrary in my marriage, in my parenting, in my friendships, in my pastoring, in just being a citizen of this country, in the thoughts about other people, anytime I act in any way that's not perfect love, I am sinning. Amen. So every one of us in this room today is going to sin to varying degrees. To varying degrees. That's just the way it is. Who's going to be sinless today? Probably none of us. But our goal is to be like the Father. Amen. Is to walk like the Father. That's the goal of Christianity, is to continue to walk in the ways of love. We're not trying to be sinless, but we're trying to represent the heart of the Father and the heart of Jesus well. Amen. The more you focus on those things that you do wrong, the more you focus on your sin, the worse it gets. The more you focus on other things, the better it gets. So Paul tells us in Colossians, set your mind on things above, where God is seated at the right hand and we are seated with him. There, set your minds up there. Why? Because Craig, if you set your mind on earthly things, you will become earthly even if you are a child of God. Amen. Amen. They threw him out of the synagogue. What does that mean? In those days, that's where the presence of God was. Yeah. So basically, you're cut off from the presence of God. You're cut off from fellowship. Amen? As a matter of fact, I have the presence of God in me. You have the presence of God in you. When we connect, Jesus says, where two or more gathered, there I am. Why? Because when I connect with you as a son of God, I'm connecting not just with your physical part, but your spiritual part. There's a connection that we have. We can break bread together. If I become offended with you and bitter with you and I slice you, I cancel you off, I say you no longer have access to the presence of God in me. That's a Pharisee, friends. That's not Jesus. Jesus always has his hand reaching out. Come, let's make peace. Come, son. Come, my girl. Come, make peace with me. Why? I'll never reject you. I'll never forsake you. Amen. Amen. But I don't see eye to eye. Well, we can work it out as long as we can, brother and sister in the church, and work it out. But if we eventually find a way we cannot work us out any longer and it's too big, that's fine. Then we split amicably and we walk our separate ways. God has no problem with that. He has a problem when I cancel you and you cancel me because I'm bitter with you because you didn't do what I wanted you to do. That's not the Father. That's what the Pharisees did. Amen? Last point. Remember earworms. That's an earworm that we've carried around in our ears for a long time. That's what the Father is like. I've offended and upset him. Now he's cut me off. And so we come into grace life. We come into church. Craig, backslidden, God doesn't want nothing to do with me. I'm dragging myself on you. That's the Father ran and hugged the guy. Amen. I mean, he didn't stand there. Yes, bro, where you been? Yeah, where's the money that you took out of this house now? Where you been here? Prostitutes. And, oh, come. Yes, bro, disgusting. Are you going to live in the outhouse until I'm ready to deal with you? And when you proved yourself, we might be friends again. As the Father didn't do that. Go read the prodigal son. Jesus says, I'm the gatekeeper. Psalm 91. Whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty can say to him, you are my defender and protector. You are my God. In you I can trust. But only if I've been perfect though. Only if I have been a perfect Christian can I say those words. Otherwise, hey, you've got to be a pastor. No. Amen. I'm not perfect. Ask Dawn. Oh, okay, I'm quite close. I mean, I've made mistakes, even with some of you guys. Said things maybe I shouldn't have, or done things I shouldn't have, or been a bit frustrated, but whatever. Amen? God's forgiven me, so you forgive me. Amen. At the end of the day, you've done the same to me. But God has forgiven you, and I forgive you. And so we walk together. Amen. But Jesus says here, the book of Psalms 91, he says, you are my protector. When? Even when I've fallen. Right. Oh, Craig, I don't know about God. Is kind of, surely not. Well, okay. Hebrews 4:16, Amplified. That was the GNT version. Amplified version says, therefore, let us, with privilege, you know that you have privilege in the kingdom? And you grew up with privilege, Craig. Yeah, because I'm a son of God. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what race, don't fall for the narrative. Don't fall for the narrative. Don't be a victim. And whatever the circumstance. I remember talking to this girl. I forget her name now. It was like Sindile down at the coast. She just started to be a doctor. Come back to live in a home down at Port Shepstone. And I was talking to her and she said, yeah, I know. I studied through the government. But you know, the government's like, hey, I'm going to struggle now. No. And I said, hey, you know what? Let's pray. Let's pray and ask. Don't speak like that. Don't speak negatively over that thing. Say, thank you, Father, that you are opening doors for me. Thank you that you are opening, even now as I talk and as I sit here, you are opening doors for me that I will have a job as a doctor or an intern somewhere in the country. But thank you, Lord, that the doors are opening for me right now, even now. Amen. Amen. Don't be a victim. God is not a victim. The Pharisees were victims. Amen. And Jesus was the enemy. Don't be a victim. Make God the enemy. You're a victor. Privileged. Approach the throne of grace. That is the throne of God's gracious favor. Woo! We approach the throne of God's gracious favor, not the throne of God's judgment and the throne of God's disapproval. Oh, jeez, what have you done? No, the throne of God's grace. Listen here. With confidence, I'm almost finished. With confidence, we approach the throne of God's grace with confidence. Hey, even if I messed up, yes. Even if I watched pornography last night, yes. With confidence. Because Satan will tell you, you did something last night that you know you shouldn't have, and you're a married man. Now you go, and you just go and be the dirty thing you are. And you stay in the corner, and you shut your mouth, because God doesn't want to hear you, until you fix yourself up and throw your PC in the dustbin. And then you go and you got to grovel to God. And then he might think about forgiving you. You were forgiven in Christ when you gave your life to Jesus. There is therefore, no, okay. There is no more forgiveness for you. The blood of Jesus covers all sin. Yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. The blood of Jesus covered your sin 2,000 years ago. All you had to do was acknowledge that you were a sinner. Now you are a saint. Amen. I wrote on Facebook the other day, a sinner, capital S, people of this world, are sinners, capital S, and it's a noun. Remember we spoke about nouns? They, them. In the Bible, the noun for an unsaved person is not they or them. It's a sinner with a capital S. Let's say that together. Sinner. A sinner sins because they are unbelievers. They sin because they're sinners, capital S. Amen. I don't become a capital S sinner because I sin. Who's with me? Amen. Just because I'm a believer and I do things perhaps that I shouldn't, and I say things that I shouldn't, and I think things that I shouldn't, I'm not as faithful as I am, as I should be in certain areas, doesn't make me a sinner anymore. I'm still a saint. I'm under the blood of the Son of God. His blood, he took his blood into the eternal realm. He sprinkled so that forever our consciences would be what? Covered by the blood of Jesus. Who's with me? So that we may receive mercy for our failures. Who doesn't need that? And find his amazing grace to help in time of need. We need mercy, so we approach the throne of grace to find that from the Father. Amen. So he leads. His voice, he leads us. Now, let me quickly end by saying this. Because I could go on for hours here. But hold on, Craig, the conscience, you know, the conscience, God used the conscience, and our conscience is supposed to prick us. And Paul says that our conscience gets seared as with a hot iron. I understand that. That's why we have to be attentive to the leading of the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. He says, the sheep hear my voice. Amen? But I can tell you, I've got a family member that is a believer that's going the wrong way. And they know that. And they're saying, you must just be happy for me in my place where I am. I want to just be happy. But they know they can't be because they know in their heart of hearts what they're doing is not the way of the Father. It's not leading to full life. But they're trying to convince themselves. We keep praying and keep trusting, knowing that God's going to break in there. Amen. Let me tell you, friends, we approach the throne of grace with confidence because we know that the Father calls us. He speaks to us. Why don't we stand together? He speaks to us. He will never ostracize us. Amen. Never. He will never ostracize us. Jesus leads us because he wants to lead a full life. You can be eternally secure. You can be a believer and still not live a full life. Still live a life that's nominal in the gutter. The Father says, I don't want you to live there. I want you to live a life like my son. Amen. Did Jesus have eternal security? Yes. Matter of fact, in John 10, let me read it quickly. Listen here. You got another 35 seconds? Listen what he says here. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not a good shepherd who owns the sheep. Why? Because the hired hand doesn't care for the sheep. I want to tell all the leaders here at Grace Life. And if you're an aspiring leader and want to come onto the leadership team, you're saying, Lord, I believe I'm called to lead. Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. Then feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yes, I do. Then feed my sheep. Our goal is to love the people of God. We keep unity because we want to love the people of God. Amen. That's the bottom line. Right. Not because Craig is saying, because the Father says, love my lambs and love my sheep. Feed lambs and feed my sheep. When you honor, when husband and wife honor and love each other, they're feeding the children with the good things of God. Amen? And he says, yeah, the hired hand when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Don't abandon the sheep and run away. Then the wolf attacks, the flock will scatter. The man runs away. Okay, I'm the good shepherd, verse 14. I know my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and knows, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life down for the sheep. Let me go, jump down. No one takes it from me, but I lay my life, his own life. Nope, where is it? Anyway. It's not there. Someone moved it. Jesus wants to lead us into eternal life. Satan uses the word of the Pharisee to misrepresent the heart of the Father, like an earworm in our ears that pulls us away and makes us self-conscious about how bad we are. Where Jesus is trying to get us to focus on him and say, follow me as I walk in this kingdom. Yes, he's going to speak words to us. Yes, he's going to bring conviction. Conviction and shame are the different things. He wants to bring conviction because there's things you might not be faithful in. So he says, come, son, if I'm going to lead you to eternal life, you're going to listen to my words. Not just the good stuff, but sometimes the stuff that's not going to go down so well. But it's okay. It's going to become honey in you. Yes. Amen. It's going to lead you to eternal full life. It's going to lead you to wonderful things. So sometimes there's correction. Sometimes there's placement. The Father wants us to change direction, to change the way you think about things. It doesn't mean he's condemning us. It means he's trying to lead us into full life. Amen? Yeah. So can I pray for you?